Torah Way, Northwest London, first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Tov Shem Pei. We're in our Rav Shlomo Yitzchok Bixenspanner, Hadassim Through the Ages.
Today, Be'ezus Hashem, in honor of the Yom Tov Sukkos, we're going to discuss the Inyan of Hadassim. Boch Hashem, we take it for granted that you have these packages, that's where the Hadassim grow, and we don't even worry about it. I remember many years ago, when the Hadassim still came loose in the buckets, you had buckets of water with Hadassim, and you had to go to the Rav to ask on each Hadass, and it drove them mad. So basically, the Rabbanim are very happy that Baruch Hashem today, they come in packages, and whenever people come to me with packages, I should check it. I said, listen, it was already checked, it has a Hechsher, you don't like it, buy more expensive, or whatever it is. You can find Hadassim with a good Heksha, which are good, and there's no need to check each and every Hadass. But the MS is, the Inyan of Hadassim is not so simple, and wasn't always so simple, as we will see. So first of all, we will start with the Sugya in Masechtas Sukkah, where the Mishnah and the Gemara discusses the Inyan of Hadassim. So Hadassim, we don't find in the Torah. The word Hadass does not exist in the Torah in this context. We find it in Nach later, but in the Torah we don't find the word Hadassim. In the Torah it says, "Ulakachtem lachem b'yoyim arishoyin, pri etz hador, kapos tamorim, anaf etz ovois." So anaf etz ovois, the Gemara says, what does it mean? So anaf is a twig, a branch. Anaf etz, a branch of a tree. Ovois means something braided. So the Gemara says, anof of choifenas eitzoy, that anaf eitz means that the anofim, the leaves have to cover the branch. So the Gemara, and that, what is that? The Gemara says, a hodos, if you take a look at a hodos, it covers the branch. So the Gemara says, ve'ema zeisa, perhaps we should suggest that it means an olive tree, a twig, a branch of an olive tree, and Rashi says, because an olive tree is also kuloi alin aruchen, it has long leaves, or ritzufim, and they're one after the other, in mutoich shehen, merubin, mechasin asa'etz. So how do you know that it means hodos? So the Gemara says, be'inen ovois, that even though the olive branches are covered, but they're not braided. Masha'en kein, the hadassim are braided, and Rashi says, ovois means maseh sharsheres, like a chain, shiyim merkoven zel ze, that they should be sort of braided one on top of the other. So the Gemara says, I have other options that would fit that criteria. We're not going to go into all the details. In the end, the Gemara says, no, that the only one that's choifes eitzoy, that covers the branch properly and it's braided, is the inyan of a hodos. Now the Gemara says, what does it mean ovois? So now we know what anaf eitz is. Well, what's ovois? So the Gemara says, "Ovois v'hu dekaimi tlosa tarfi bekina." So Rashi says it means that in order for it to be considered a hodos, it has to have three leaves coming out mitoich uketz echod. Now again, we all know how the hadassim, what they look like. So what we see is always there are three leaves coming out from different parts of the branch, but we're makpid that they should all be on one level. But Rashi says something else. Rashi says they all have to be coming out from the same stem, from the same shoyrish, they all have to come out. So Tosfos says, Rashi, kvoido b'mkoy memunach, but according to Rashi, chumr gedoylehu, he says, de'enu motzui, go find me hadassim that you find three leaves coming out from the same stem. So Tosfos says, v'shemo, b'chat kino, even though the Gemara uses the loshen, kina means shem smuchim edvukim zebaze, afa bishkol echot ba'uktzoy, even though each leaf comes out from its own stem, but as long as it's on the same level, that's considered ovos. So that's shittas hatoisus, and that's how we paskin. Then the Gemara brings Rav Kahana Omar afila trei v'chad, that you don't need to have three leaves coming out either from one stem or from the same level. Even if it's two and one comes out from under it and it covers it, that's also good enough. That's what Rav Kahana said. Rav Acha Breda Rava, says the Gemara, Mahadar Atrei V'chav. Because Rav Kahana said, Afilu Trei V'chav, he was Mahadar on Trei V'chav. Hoyl V'nofik Mipume De Rav Kahana. Because Rav Kahana said so. So in other words, most Mepharshim explain that Avada Rav Kahana is only saying Afilu Trei V'chav. Avada, if it's three, is Avada good. But he says even Trei V'chav. So Rav Acha wanted to show a chiddush that the halacha is like Rav Kahana. So even though he could have taken tlosa, one that has three, but because Rav Kahana said trei v'chav, he was makpid to have only trei v'chav. Omale Mar Bar Amemar told Rav Ashi, Abba, my father Amemar, lahahu hada shoyte karilei. That this hodos that Rav Asa was trying to look for, and he was trying to find dafke hodos that has trei v'chav, his father Amemar called it a hodos shoyte. And pashtas, most mepharshim learn a hodos shoyte means something you can be yotze with. So why did Rav Kahana go and try to find something which you can be yotze the mitzvah? Now, there's a gemara in Daf Yud Beis. This is the gemara Daf Lamed Beis in Lulav HaGozel, which discusses all the minim. But there's a gemara in Daf Yud Beis where the gemara tries to establish how do we know that the schach has to be something that grows on the ground, etc. So the gemara brings different drushes. One is ba'aspacha megarnuchu miyukvecha, the psoilus gorim ve'yekev, the other drushes. Then the gemara brings Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, do you know how I know that it has to be something that grows? Because there's a pasuk that says in pasuk in Sefer Ezra. Now in Nehemiah, Ezra is one sefer. By us, it's divided. We know that when the Yidden came up, and in the second day Samigdosh, so Ezra was there, Nehemiah was there, and the pasuk describes how they made Chag HaSukkos. There was a Gavaldige Isoirus, Rosh Hashanah was a tremendous Isoirus, and they did Tshuva, and then on Sukkos they made Sukkos. So the pasuk says that Behaviu Tzuuhahor, go out, Behaviu Ali Zayis, you should bring branches of Zayis, Ba'ale et Shemen, which is also a type of a fruit that gives oil, Ba'ale Hodos, Ba'ale Tamarim, Ba'ale Eitz Ovos. So the Pasuk says that you should bring Ale Hodos, which are branches with Hadassim, and Ale Eitz Ovos. So the Gemara Frek, Heino Hodos, Heino Atz Eitz Ovos. What's the difference between Hodos and Eitz Ovos? Aren't they the same? Amar Rav Chista, Hodos Shoyte, Lesukah, the Eitz Ovos, Lelula. So the Gemara says that Ale Hodos means a Hodos Shoyte. And that was brought for the Sukkah, a Schach. And the Ale Eitz Ovos was Lelula. So Rashi says that Hodos Shoyte, She'ene Kosher Lelula. Rashi says clearly, a Hodos Shoyte is not Kosher Lelula. Lefi She'ene Avosoy Asua Shal Sholosh Sholosh Alen. And therefore, you cannot be Yotz. So, L'chayr, this Rashi is very clear that a Hodos Shoyte, which doesn't have three, you cannot be Mekayim the Mitzvah, even B'di'evet. Now, there is another set of Rishonim who speak about the same Inyan, and basically they discuss the Inyan of how many Esrogim, Lulavim, Adasim, Barovim, because in the Torah it doesn't say, in the Torah it says, Priyetz Hodor, Kapus Tomorim, Anafetz Ovis, Arvinachal. So how many do you bring? So we have the Mishnah that says that Shloisha Hadasim, Shtei Arovos, Lulav Echad, Eser Gechad. So the Rishonim discuss what is a person allowed to add. So the Rosh says, V'chal Hamashi'ura Shiloh Lifchas Mahem. L'chayra, all these that the Mishnah says is only, that's the minimum. Aval Ahoysif Yochol, V'en Kamishim Bal Toysif, Afilu L'mandom Lulav Tzurich Eged, Elon Kay Moysif Min Acha. So the Rosh says that Bal Toysev is only if you add another min. But if someone comes with many Lulavim, many Adasim, etc., etc., it's not a problem. Then he brings a Rambam, that the Rambam says that not only a person may add, but there's a noy mitzvah, there's an Indian of Hidur mitzvah to have more than three Adasim. Avot, says the Rambam, Shar Haminim, Eimo Sifin Amanyonim, says the Rosh, V'ifchem Estabra. If we start being makpid on numbers, then the svar is punkt faker than what the Rambam is saying. Why? Because the Bahodos, it says anaf eitz ovos. So anaf eitz ovos is three. So you shouldn't add more. By Arava, it only says Arve. And the reason we know two is because Miut Arve is Shnayim. But Mehecha Pesi that you can't add. So the Rosh says, if the Rambam is making a chiluk between Hadassim and Aravas, and he says Hadassim you should add and Aravas you shouldn't, the Svaris Punkt Faker, that you should be allowed to add by Aravas and not by Hadassim. And he says, V'chachmei Provinci, the Chacham of Provence, Hikshu Olov, they asked this kasha to the Rambam, V'chozar boy. The Rambam was choizer from his halacha, V'hikshir hakoil. The Rambam was machshir, you can add as many Aravas and as many Hadassim that you want. V'yira, shekein be'esrik v'lulav. You can bring as many asrogim as you want, and you can bring as many lulavim as you want. Ein be'emishim bal toisif, even though it says kapas, and it's tamorim, and it says pri, it's one pri, kivashen emosif min achar, is not a problem. So now, says the Rambam, or the Rosh discusses, based on the Rambam, what is the status of a hodos she'ena ovos? Right? A person wants to be moisif hadasim, but he only has three of the kosher hadasim. He wants to add these hodos shoyte, he wants to add to the hadasim. Says the Rosh, b'hodos she'ena ovos nechleku hagdoilim imhu min hodos v'yochel hoisif imenu. Or if it's a total separate meaning. In other words, there's two ways to learn. You can learn that the hodos shoyta means it's a hodos, but it didn't grow the way a hodos grows. A hodos grows on afetz ovos, which has three. And this one that doesn't have three, it's still a hodos, but it's not kosher. Or we can say, no, this hodos is a totally different mean, and therefore it's not kosher b'chlal. So he says, the bahak kosov, the hodos shoyta afil about the asachrin apostle. The Bahag holds that even with as adding on, which means you already have the shear, but you want to add on, you're not allowed to. Why? Because it's a different min. For if Nakternoi going calls up, im yochel lasas kulam in ovos mitzvah min amifchav, im einem oitzei l'shloish hadasim ovos, if a person only has three of the kosher hadasim, memalo oitzei hodo shoyte v'shaper domi. And he brings over rishoinim, goinim as well, v'chein calls up Rav Paltiel, and he says azoi, Be'etzem, mitzad the pasuk that we just brought before from Sefer Ezra, it would indicate that there are two separate meaning. Because the pasuk says Alei Hodos and then Alei Eitz Ovos. L'chayre, if it would be the same min, why is the pasuk separating it into two? However, he says, look at the fact. The fact is, says Rav Paltiel Goin, on aroyim shegedelim ba'aruga achas. The Hadassim grow in the same aruga, in the same bed where the other grow, these grow. The Shavin, B'mare, U'b'koyma, they all look alike, novels then. Ze yoitzin alav ovoiz, ve ze ein yoitzin alav ovoiz. So how could you say it's two separate minim? It's the same, you planted it the same way, it's all the same. So oy bazoi, it's definitely considered the same min. Ba'filish apostle akosiv le mitzvahs hodos, mikomu kan min echad hu ve'en kan bal toisiv. And he brings a raya from a Gemara that speaks about what are you allowed to use to bind the lulav with. So we know that we try to use only mino, even though we pass in la halacha that you could use something else, because anything that's used for eged is kolonei oisa ein lechoytzes, and we pass in lulav ein tzarech eged the whole sugya. But the Gemara says that even if you would say that you cannot use anything that's a fremde min to bind the lulav, but siv the ikra the dikla, which means parts of the palm tree which are not kosher for a lulav, which are grow at the bottom, right? The lulav is always on the top. But we're talking about the bark. Anything that's part of the lulav tree can be used as to bind the lulav. So what do we see from here? That even though it's not a kosher, it's not kosher for lulav, but it's still considered min echad. So oy bazoi, says the Rosh, v'shem the Rav Paltiel Goin, that the same would apply to the hadassim. That even though these hadassim are posel, why are they posel? Because they're not ovos and they're not three tlosa mekina. But lemaisa, they're still min hodos, and therefore they would not passel the arba minim mitzad bal toisiv, because bal toisiv is only if you add another min, but not if you have the same type of min. Now let's see what we find in the gedolah haposkim harishonim. So there's a tshuva in the Marik. The Marik was from the gedolah Ashkenaz. He lived in the 13th, 14th century. And he had a very big problem, because in his time, he says, "Hodos shoyte she'amarta shedas sheyodata sheroiv medinas Ashkenaz Yoitz's boy. In other words, the fact was that in Ashkenaz they didn't have only what we would call Hodesh Shoyte. Says the Marik, Nivhalti al zeh. Shaydobra poshet hu shad Hodesh Shoyte posel av b'dieved. So in other words, the Marik had a conundrum. On the one hand, he looked at the fact, you go into the shul, and people are using what we would call Hodesh Shoyte. On the other hand, Hodesh Shoyte, we just saw, is posel av b'dieved. So the Marik says, taka nivhalti. What did he do? So, if you take a look a bit in other svarim, we'll see later, that there was an interesting phenomenon that the only hadasim meshuloshim, which we use, we call hadasim meshuloshim, which we know grow in Tzfas, at that time there was nothing going on in Tzfas. So where did these hadasim grow? These hadasim grew in Italy. In Italy they had these hadasim that were meshuloshim. The only problem was, hadasim tried to take a hodos and leave it out of the fridge, out of plastic. How long does it take until it gets dry? It doesn't take long. It gets dry very quickly. So what did they use? So basically, we'll see soon, even a few hundred years later, this is, as I said, the 13th century, 14th century, and we're talking about even in the 17th century, the metzias was people would use dried out hadasim. Because, as we said, you wanted it to be kosher, it came from Italy, and anywhere in Germany, in other places where you had a lot of Yidden living, in Prague, in Frankfurt, in all these cities, they used these dry hadasim. So the only option, if you wanted to have fresh hadasim, which grew locally, you needed to use those hadasim shoytim. So it could be that the Marik for himself, he used one of those dried hadasim. But people would go and pick fresh hadasim, and those fresh hadasim were hadasim shoytim. So the Marik says, Nivhalti, I'm shocked to hear that taka people are using it. Now, it also could be another thing, that in olden times, not every person, not every child had a set. There was one in the city. So maybe in the place where the Marik was, he only saw his. He didn't see what other people are using. But they told him, you know that in other places, in Ashkenaz, people are using hadasim shoytim.
So the ones from Italy were mishulish?
They were mishulish, but they weren't fresh. It was impossible to keep them fresh. So people, either they couldn't get from Italy, you know, in olden times, you find many times that there was a shortage, it was hard to get. There's a story about London in the 1700s. There was a major machloikis between the great synagogue and the Hambro, that's when they broke away and a new Kehillah started. One of the things was that there were two people that were fighting, the Rosh HaKol from one place and another guy, and one of the things they did to him was, they didn't allow him to use the Dalad Minim that the Kehillah had, and he couldn't get his own because there was no wind. There was no wind that year on the channel, so the Sregen came from Holland, and there was no thing, and so we see that, you know, it wasn't always so easy to get the Dalad Minim. And that's, we're talking about the 1700s. Here we're going back to the 1300s. So the Marik starts handling. He says, on the one hand, how the Shoyt is possible. And he brings all the rayas, and he holds that it's mamash possible. Then he goes into a very interesting discussion, which the Tur brings down. Now the Tur was after the Marik. So the Tur brings a Rabbeinu Ephraim who has a whole discussion b'negeya the besomim that we use on Motzei Shabbos. What besomim should we use on Motzei Shabbos? So there is an inyan to use hadasim. What's the inyan of using hadasim? Because given this avod by mitzvah chodo, this avod by mitzvah achrita, which we find in Erev in other places, that if you make a pas, you use a pas for Erev, you should use it for shaloshidus, for lecha mishnah. So some wanted to say that there's an inyan to use hadasim in order to be mekayim the inyan of keeping this avod lechada mitzvah. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says, "Ani eini mevarach al hodesh shoyte shalochem. I refuse to use your hodesh shoyte because you're not mekayim a mitzvah with it." So there's a whole handlerai in the Bais Yosef in the Bach. What's he referring to? So the Bais Yosef brings that ad kedei kach, and this is what we said before. The Marik says that any hodos that was kosher, you wouldn't use it for besamim. Why wouldn't you use it for besamim? Because you didn't know next year if you would have Hadassim. You would save the Hadassim for next year. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak, can we imagine what it looked like? What do Hadassim that are kept out of the fridge, right, for a week, a month, what do they look like? Here we have people would put away Hadassim, Mishana Lashana, in order to, because you didn't know if you would have Kosher Hadassim. Because Kosher Hadassim, as we said, were very far and few in between, and if you had, you put it away. So that's how the Bais Yosef learns Pshat. He brings it from the Marik. This is the Marik. The Marik says that if it would be Kosher Hadassim, we wouldn't smell it on Motzei Shabbos. Because if you smell it, they can crumble, right? What happens to Hadassim when they start getting dry? They crumble. Now, it's a whole sugya of what is considered dry. The halacha says that even though it's crumbling, it's not considered dry until it becomes white. Now, for Hadassim to become white takes a long time. So basically, as long as they were green, even though they would crumble when you looked at it, apple pecane, if they weren't white, they still used it. So we see from here that Be'etzem, the Marik goes that it's Be'etzem, it's Posel, and he says he does have a tetzik, he does have a way of how to fa'emfer this Indian. He wants to say that the Gemara says Trei V'chad is only if it goes two leaves and then one comes from the bottom, but if one comes from the top, he tries to handle that perhaps those Hadassim that they used in the times of the Marik, even though he wouldn't use it himself, as we said, what would he use? He himself used old Hadassim from last year, but he says, I can find a heter maybe to fa'en for these people that use those Hadassim Shoytim. Now,
the Marik in northern Italy?
The Marik was in Köln. I'm not sure exactly where he was. Maybe he was in Italy, then it makes even more sense. Because even in Italy, it seems that...
What's his name? Traboto?
No, he was Ashkenaz.
Okay.
I think he was in Italy.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it was in Italy. So it makes sense, because even in Italy, it seems that it wasn't available in abundance, but it was, he was considered from the Gedolei Ashkenaz. So Lemaise, let's take a look in the Ramah. Halacha Lemaise. So the Machabes speaks about Anach, it's Ovos, Hodos, etc., etc. And the Machabes says that if it's not three, it only has two and one, it's Hodos Shoytim. The Ramah says, a Pois Afilu B'Shas Adchak. Even b'shas adchak. However, says the Rama, ikemando amar b'gemara de kosher, valkeino yhagim be'elu ha-madinus l'katchila l'tzeis be'elu ha-dasim ha-mubayim, ve'ein gimel alam b'gibel echot, v'yesh mishikosav da-dasim shalonu, ein ikroim ha-da-shoyte, hoi ve'im shnayim al-gaf shnayim, v'loik ha-da-shoyte ha-muskar b'gemara, l'chein ha-hagu l'hokul k'mishkosat marik, u-mari isilin, that's the term of sadeshen, b'tshuboy seyem. So the Ramah seems to address a problem that they had in his time, which is there were no Hadassim to be found. So if there's no Hadassim to be found, what should you do? Should you only take Gimel Minim? So the Ramah says, I will bring you some sources that allow to use Hodah Shoyte. But in Hodah Shoyte, there are different ways, there are different types of Hodah Shoyte. So the Hodah Shoyte, the Gemara says, it's Tlotze V'chav. But if you take a look, even today, what's Hadassim? The Hadassim are called Myrtle. That's the English name for it. Now, in the myrtle, there are many different types. You go to the botanical gardens, you can see all types. They're not expensive to grow. They're not hard. They grow quite easily. Now, many of these Hadassim grow on a twig 2-2. So the Ramah wants to say that those that grow in that way, at the end of the day, the twig is covered. Why is the twig covered? Because you have two and then two and two. And that's the way it grows. So basically, the whole twig is covered. And you have a very interesting Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says that what's Ovos? Where do we see Ovos means braided? Who says that Ovos needs to be three? You can have, usually when you braid Chalas, the minimum you use is three. Some use six, some use four, some use other numbers. But he says, let's go to the Torah. The Torah says by the Choshen, Mikbolos Tasa Oysa Masa Ovois. What's Masa Ovois? Says the Aruch HaShulchan. Targum Inklus Gedil, and he brings from the Gemara, Gedil is two. So he says that perhaps that this Indian of Hodesh Shoyte, this type is maybe even Kosher Lekatchila. So that's why that's how he wants to learn Pshat in the Ramah. That the Ramah says that even though Hadashoit is Pasul Afilu B'Di'evad, but that's only when it's a different type of Oifen, when it's Trei B'Chav. But if it's Trei or Trei, Trei or Trei, as the Ramah says, that's not considered a Hadashoit, and therefore such a thing would be allowed. Now, let's see what happened in the 17th century. So in the 17th century, there was a very interesting phenomenon. As we said before, if you wanted the Hadassim Shuloshim, which we call the Tzfasa Hadassim, then you had to get from Italy. And getting from Italy was not always an option, and especially if you lived far away, so they were always dry. So people found other Hadassim that grew in the botanical gardens in the big cities, and especially where there were royalty, so they had these type of the Hadassim bushes, the bushes. So the story goes that in the times of the Shvus Yankov, he was a Rav in many different cities, but one of the cities he was Rav was in Prague. Prague was a royal city, imperial city, and they had available the Hadassim. However, the Shvus Yankov, when he looked at these Hadassim, they looked like Hadassim, they smelled like Hadassim, as they say, they walked like Hadassim, they talked like Hadassim. However, he found some shinuyim in the Hadassim, not in the Hadassim itself, but in the Anovim. Now, we don't get those Anovim, because that they take off, right? We don't see those Anovim. But we see in the Mishnah, in the Sugya, that Hadassim grow with Anovim. Now, these Anovim are not Roy L'Achila, and if it's Roy Anovim, it passes the Hodos. There's a whole shaila whether you can do it on Yom Tov, ve'imiyat on kosher, right? There's a whole sugya of dichui. There are many lomdish sugyas based on these anovim. So these were little grapes, and the Shvus Yankov realized that the grapes had a different color, had a different texture. They were bigger, and in the anov, in the grape, they had a different type of seed. So the Shvus Yankov said, "Hey, wait a minute, what's going on? We know what Hadassim are supposed to look like, and we know what the Anovim are supposed to look like. These Anovim are different." So he says, you know what? These Hadassim are Murkovim. Because he says, there's a reason why these Hadassim only grew in Italy. Why did they only grow in those places, which has a different climate? There are many different interesting things. I've been to Italy a few years ago to see with the Sroigim, and you find fascinating how the climate, how much it adds to the metzias of the Sroigim. And it's not in the whole Italy. There are certain areas where it's in the summer, it's very wet and it's very hot. And this is what they need to grow. So the Shvus Yankov said that those Hadassim that they have in Prague, even though they're beautiful because they're fresh and they're nice and they're green, but they're Murkovim. And because they're Murkovim, the Shvus Yankov said, rather we should use the Hadassim that come from Italy and they're dry, etc., etc., than to use these type of Hadassim. And the Shaar HaTshuva on the Shulchan Aruch brings it. And he says that the Shvus Yankov ein levarach al Hadassim an mitzvah beprag, v'heim gam kein mitzvah beAmsterdam or beHamburg. In other words, in all the big cities that where the Yidden lived and they needed Hadassim, they had these type of Hadassim, but it's chashash murkovim. And again, as we said, in the times of the Marik, we don't find that these Hadassim existed anywhere else. All of a sudden, in the times of the Shvus Yankov, which was a few hundred years later, you see these Hadassim turning up, and all of a sudden, you have these nice Hadassim. But he says, because in the ones from Italy, Ha'anovim Ketanim, they're smaller, Agulim, they're round, and in the Chadoshim, in the new ones, Meshuchim, they're long, and also the Garinim are Gedoilim. Lochein yesh davorech al adasim shenahagu shemavim im merchok, v'chol shadayin heim yerukim yoytzim behem. As long as they're green, they're not white, you can still make a bracha, no problem. V'sha'as hadchak, he says, we can be soymer, because the whole sugya of murkav is not so poshet, some hold that murkav is kosher. So he says, v'sha'as hadchak, no, if you have nothing else to use, you can use those, but l'ketchilo you shouldn't. The Chacham Tzvi, who lived in Hamburg, and this is the Shvus Yankov's tshuva went on those Hadassim that came from Hamburg that the Chacham Tzvi wanted to be matir, but the Chacham Tzvi held no. The Chacham Tzvi held that because they have three, they're klosser, so even though they have differences in the Anovim, but we're not choshesh, that they are Merkovim, and Fakerti says, Oysim Habom in Italia, Hein Pesulois, because they're dry. So we had here Machloikes, Gedoyli Yisrael, what should you rather use? Should you use the Italian ones, or should you use the ones that grow in Germany, etc., etc.? So we see from here that it wasn't so simple throughout the ages. The Inyan of Hadassim weren't so simple. So Baruch Hashem, today, we don't even blink an eye, and we have so many options, and you can have all kinds of different Hadassim, all kinds of prices, all kinds of different ranges, and we shouldn't take it for granted, because we find the Chinuch says that the Inyan of the Dalad Minim have a Teva that they bring Simcha. And the emphasis is, you know, when a person is able to have a nice set of Dalad Minim, that's something that to be happy about. So when we shakla Dalad Minim every single day, every morning, we should do it with an extra dose of Simcha, knowing that Baruch Hashem, today we have such nice Minim, and in every Minim we have so many options, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all these things as a simon to be able to be B'Simcha. Just want to finish with the words of the Rosh. The Rosh brings in Hilchus, in Sech Tesukah, the Rosh brings, why do we shake the Dalad Minim by On Hashem Oshiyano and by Hoidul Hashem Kitoy? So he brings a posuk. It says, Oz Yeranu Atzei Ayor, Melifnei Hashem Kivol Vishpoite Sa'oretz, Hoidul Hashem Kitoy, Ve'imro Oshiyenu. We say in Hoidu. So he says, the Medrash says, Oz Yeranu B'Atzei Ayor. Yidin Klal Yisrael are happy with the Atzei Ayor, and he brings a Medrash that says that Moshe Lamelech HaShoifer that was judging his subjects, and no one knew what the outcome would be. So the judge told one person, here, this is a present from me. I'm not telling you the outcome, but there's a reason to be happy. Just know there's a reason to be happy. Here, take this as a simon. Says the Medrash that after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done, Klal Yisrael and the Goyim, we don't know the outcome. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, here, take the Dalad Minim. These Dalad Minim is a simon for you to be happy. So Oz Yerananu Ba'atzei Hayor, Melifnei Hashem Kivol Mishpoites Ha'oretz, and therefore, Hoidul Hashem Kitoy Kilayim Chasta Bimu Hashienu. That's what the Rosh says. So we see from here that the Inyan of Dalad Minim is a sign for us that we have something to take with us as a sign that we were Zoycha Bedin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, Taka, we should be able to be happy and use this Simcha to bring Simcha throughout the whole year, and we should all be Zoycha to all the brachas of the Torah.
North France, yeah.
In 11th
grade. Yeah. That's what I thought. It was in Ashkenaz. Yeah. 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 Okay, fine. Yeah. Yeah, but you know that was part of Ashkenaz then.
Habocha, Dovi Freilich, claustrophobia in the sukkah.
Bishus, Victor Spanner, from Isolsbacher, my father. I'm going to speak a little bit about the Inyan of sukkah, and then at the end maybe speak a bit of drush. So the Gemara Sukkah, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that if someone spreads a sheet over the schach to protect the sukkah against the sun, or if someone spreads a sheet underneath the schach to catch, to make sure that leaves don't fall down, so the Mishnah says it's possible. Why is it possible? Because we know, as Rabbi Vixen Spanner said, that quoted the Gemara learns out that schach has to be made out of something which is gedolim min ha'aretz, something that is grown from the ground. And a sheet, of course, is not grown from the ground, and therefore is going to be possible for schach. Now, the Gemara quotes Rav Chista, who says that this sheet is only going to render the sukkah possible if you're doing it l'shem to block against the sun or to catch the leaves. But if you're spreading the sheet purely for decorative purposes, for example, there are nowadays what type of sheets are for decorative purposes, like a Persian rug, or maybe you've got some sort of theme in your sukkah and you want it to make it look nice. Rav Chizda said it's not a problem. Even if you've spread it over your sukkah, the sukkah is still going to be kosher. Now, why is that? So Aruch HaNeh explains, Alpi Rashi, that what do we consider schach? Schach is something that protects the sukkah. So only things which are protecting the sukkah are going to be in the parameters of schach, which is why if your sheet is protecting against the sun or is holding up the schach, catching the leaves, then it's begeder schach, and it will be a problem if it's growing, if it's not growing from the ground. However, if this sheet is purely for decorative purposes, it doesn't come under the parameter of schach. It's purely a nice adornment of the sukkah, and therefore it's not going to be problematic, and the sukkah will be kosher. So the Gemara on Yud Amud Beis says that noy sukkah ein mamatim basukkah, that decorations in the sukkah are not going to affect the height of the sukkah. What does that mean? We know the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in sukkah, sets out the minimum and maximum heights of a sukkah. The maximum height of a sukkah is 20 amos, and the minimum height is 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says that when we've got decorations, they play absolutely no part in how in the height of the sukkah. Meaning, if I have a sukkah which is, let's say, borderline kosher on the lower end of the scale, so if it's 10, 11 tefachim tall, and I have these decorations hanging down quite low, then because it's only decorations and it's not schach, we completely ignore it, and the sukkah is still going to be kosher, it's still going to have its proper height of 10 tefachim. So we're going to return to this in a minute, see why it's problematic. Before that, I want to quote the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Dalet talks about the sugya of Hutzin. Hutzin is when I'm masachich with, for example, a big branch of whatever they use nowadays, and Hutzin are when there are leaves or branches from that big piece that are hanging down into the sukkah, basically bramble, foliage, I don't know how you want to say it in English. But it's you've got your schach and you've got these bits of leaves hanging inside. So the Gemara says, if I have a sukkah which is above 20 amos, which is normally possible, so let's say I've got a sukkah which is 21, 22 amos tall, and I have hutzin hanging down inside it. There's a nice layer of green from the schach on top hanging down. So what do we consider it the correct height? Is the sukkah going to be kosher? So the Gemara says it depends. Is the hutzin chamosim ruba or tzilosim ruba? We've got a din that schach, in order to be kosher, has to be tzilosim ruba. Schach has to be more shade than sun. So the Gemara says, if these branches offer more shade than sun, then it's fine, the sukkah is going to be kosher. We're going to consider this layer, this new layer of branches as your schach. It's going to be okay. However, if the schach does not, if these hutzin do not provide more shade than sun, then you can't consider it your schach, and therefore your schach is really 22 amas high, and it's going to be a problem, it's going to be possible. However, says the Gemara, if, again, going down to the lower end of the scale, if you've got a sukkah which is 10, 11 tefachim high, and you have hutzin hanging down, even if these hutzin are not fit, do not fulfill the criteria of schach, because they're chamosim ruba, the sukkah is still going to be possible. When we say that the sukkah needs to be 10 tefachim high, that is, across the board, we need to have a complete 10 tefachim airspace. We don't want anything inside it. So it's very interesting. Why is that? The Gemara had just said that we want to look if the hutzin is chamos merubah or tzilos merubah. Is it fitting for schach or not? Why now do we not care? And any type of greenery or anything sticking inside the sukkah is going to render it possible. So Rava comes up with this new din called dira srucha. Dira srucha loosely translates as a cramped, dira, claustrophobic, it's not nice. The Torah wants us to be living teshu kin tuduru, and I'm sitting in my sukkah and I'm like having to duck my head and it's very uncomfortable. I've got these branches hanging into the sukkah. So it's going to be a problem, this din of dira srucha. So now, bearing in mind this din of dira srucha, let's return to the Gemara on Yudama base. To summarize, we said, the Gemara says, noi sukkah eino matim basukkah, that decorations do not take any part in the height of the sukkah, and therefore even if you have decorations hanging within 10 tefachim of the sukkah, it's going to be kosher. So it's a bit of a problem, because based on the dira srucha Gemara, why is it not a problem? Okay, I understand maybe we're not going to consider it schach, okay, that's very nice, but at the end of the day, why have we not got this problem of a dira srucha, that you've got these paper chains or whatever you've decorated, and you've made your dira very cramped. It's a dira srucha. So there's a very mistava svara given by the Rishonim, the Meiri, the Rashba, and his Shai's Chuvus, and they explain a very nice chiluk. They say, what are the definition of Diras Rucha? As the words connote, a Diras Rucha is when something's very cramped and uncomfortable. And I'm not enjoying being in the sukkah, and this is not what the Torah had in mind for me living in a sukkah. However, say the Rishonim, if you have purposely put decorations there, then you can't call that a Diras Rucha. I think I'll be the one that decides if it's a Diras Rucha or not. If I have decided that I like having this nice sheet over it to change the atmosphere in the sukkah, whatever it is, I want it there, so don't come along and tell me it's a Diras Rucha. And so that sorts out. That's why there's no stira in the Gemaras, because a Diras Rucha is only going to be when you have something that is not really, something you didn't really want. Hutzin is not something that you purposely put there. Hutzin, you put your schach, and it happens to be that there are some branches that are hanging down, and you're going to have these, you know, sharp sticks sticking into your head. It's not comfortable. But if you have it for decorative reasons, there's no problem. Everything's going to be okay. There's no problem with Diras Rucha. Okay, Ad Kan the Gemara. And now I wanted to speak a little bit about sukkahs in general, the avoid of sukkahs is. You know, only a week ago we were all davening Shacharis, Musaf, whatever it was, Yom Kippur. And it's very drastic change, and really it's all the same season, so just to shed a bit of light on what exactly the meaning of sukkahs is, I heard something very nice. So to start off, we're going to move to chasanas. So there's a minag in Klal Yisrael that... I'm just saying a minag, that people have a minag, that when they have a chuppah, they have it directly underneath the sky. We know that in simcha halls, even if you have an indoor chuppah, they still are makbid sometimes to have roofs that open to make sure that the chuppah is directly underneath the sky. So I heard a pshat from Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, I think that's how you pronounce his name, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He explains pshat, why is it that where does this minhag originate, that where we want the sukkah, the chuppah directly underneath the sky? And he explains it al pi Gemara and Brachos Daf Memches. The Gemara says, talks about a story of Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava were sitting inside the house, and Rava comes along to them and says, who do you make brachos to? Interesting question, but anyway, they say, obviously, who do you make brachos to? We make brachos to Hashem. So Rava says, and where is Hashem? So the sequence of events is very interesting in the Gemara now. What happens? Rava points up to the ceiling and says, you know, there's Hashem. And Abaya, he does something different. He walks outside the house and points up to the sky and says, there's Hashem. Very interesting. Gemara, what is the chiluk? What is Abaya doing differently to Rava by going outside the house and pointing upwards? So he explains the following. He said that there's something even more choshev than dying al-Kiddush Hashem, and that's living al-Kiddush Hashem. Yeah? What do I mean? When people are living at home, people are very makbid on saying brachos, they'll open a sefer from now and then, they'll be makbid on hechsherim, everything's all nice, they're all very frum at home. But as soon as people go out, whether it's to their business or to places where, you know, they're not in their comfortable surroundings or people aren't watching them, suddenly all morals go out the window. You know, they don't talk nicely to people, they're not honest in their business or whatever it is. Suddenly all morals go out the window. So Rabbi Tzal explains that is the inyan that Abaya was doing by going out of the sukkah and going out of the house and pointing up to Shemayim. He's saying, that's no big shtick for me saying Hashem is over there, because I'm very comfortable, it's all nice and easy. There's no shtick of being, so to be, Moshe Nefesh for Torah mitzvahs. It's very easy for me. What shows real godliness to Adam? That's when I'm outside and I'm open to Nisyonos, I still recognize that on top of me is Hashem. So that is how he explains the minhag of having a chuppah directly underneath the sky. Because at the start of a person's marriage, it's not good enough that we're going to say that, oh, I'm going to keep Torah mitzvahs, I'm going to build a bayis neim bo Yisrael in easy conditions, when it's going to be easy and good. We want to show that even when the goings are tough, and I'm open, and maybe think people aren't looking at me, and people aren't looking at all my actions, and it's my decision, I'm still recognizing that I want to be tachas kanvian hashchina. And with this, I can return now to the inyan of sukkah. So, as I said, a week ago we were all shocking away in shul for davening on Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Ne'eroim, the inyan of Yom Ne'eroim really is, so to speak, dying al Kiddush Hashem. That Hashem, our lives in Hashem's hands. We know that. We tell Hashem that, please make it as if we were the ones that were shechted at the Akedah. Everything, you know, the atmosphere in shul is electric, and charged, and it's impossible really not to feel that ruchnius. Everyone, even when it comes to ne'ilah, everyone, you know, you've got this straight vision, Hashem, this is the avoid that I want to have in my life, I want to just be kulay ruchnius and come close to you. However, the real challenge is what Hashem gives after us. Hashem gives us sukkos. Sukkos is a very unique mitzvah in that we are asked to do normal mundane activities in the sukkah. That means eating, sleeping, drinking, learning, schmoozing, everything you're supposed to do. Your normal day-to-day activities are supposed to be doing in the sukkah. What is the inyan of this? The Hashem is telling us that very nice, you can be very committed to me when you're in a shul and you're in kibbutz, packed shul, and your lives are in the balance. But you need to be consistent. You need to show commitment even in your day-to-day activities, in your mundane activities. And having a mitzvah to having a mitzvah to do everything in the sukkah, we're saying that everything in our lives doesn't have to be the biggest thing. Every mundane thing in our life we're doing l'shem mitzvah, and we want to understand that we're tachas kanfei Shechina. And I heard a very nice posuk to explain this, that we said this morning as we're putting the Torah away, mi alev asher mi yokum b'mkom kodshei. That it's very nice that a person can rise up to Har Hashem. Yeah? In this case scenario, in Yom Kippur, when everything is very geshmak, I've reached the pinnacle of ruchnius. But the bigger shtick is umi yokum b'mkom kodshei. Who can stand up straight? Who can remain there and be able to be consistent and stay there, and not only when it's, you know, when it's the charged atmosphere, only then have a commitment to Hashem. Who is able to, even during their mundane lives and when people aren't looking and things do get tough, who is able to still keep that commitment to Hashem? It's 20 to 11. Have a good night.